Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right, well, you are in for a treat. Pastor Chris is an amazing man of God who's touched so many lives all around the world through this ministry. And as we've been talking and sharing, we just have discovered our roots go back. We have joint roots in our Christian faith. Some of the same men have touched our lives for the past 50 years that we've been connected. And so it's a privilege and an honor to bring Pastor Chris up here this evening to come share with us.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Can I have a moment? I'm in the light and you're in the dark, but I trust you're there. It's really a good thing and a happy thing for me to be here. And I've been wondering, how would I prepare myself for an outpouring of God's presence? I mean, how would you prepare to meet Jesus? How do you prepare your heart for something like that? And I was reading in the scripture in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And I want to just read through this at first for you, and then I want to just kind of break it apart for you and share with you what kind of opened up to me. And John 5, begin 1, says, After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Okay, I got to be honest with you. When I read the scriptures, I have this big question mark all the time. And it's not doubt. I mean, I believe the word. I believe what God has done. I believe it, okay? It's just that I see things that just don't make sense. And I got a question, and I feel that's why the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide. So as long as I got a personal tutor, why don't I ask him, right? We should do that. So I began reading this passage, and there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. You could take the next verse there. And it says there was by the sheep gate, a pool. So I just stopped right there and I said, all right, I got some questions here. Why'd you put that in there? And you almost feel the Holy Spirit say, what? Why did you put that in there? Why is it so important that you mention the sheep gate and a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five? Why is that in there? So I began to read and study and look at it and see what was behind all that. And the sheep gate was a place where the sheep used to gather. The shepherds would gather sheep. They did commerce by this gate with the sheep. I said, oh, okay. And I thought, well, sheep, maybe this has to do with the church. You know, we're his sheep, right? Are you his sheep? Yeah, we're all God's sheep, right? So I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's a message for us, for God's sheep. And there was a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda. Now, that was interesting because that means house of outpouring. So I think, aha, I'm onto something here. This is about how we as a church can receive, be a part of the house of outpouring of God's blessings. How many of you want to be a part of the outpouring of God's blessings? I mean, I do, right? So I go on in Bethesda having five porches. It said, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. So I thought, well, are you describing the church? Is this the church? Great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. I thought, I don't know. I mean, that's not a very positive view, is it? So I started to break down those words, and I began to see something that kept me interested and kept me moving here. And so a great multitude of sick people. Well, there's a special word for that. And sick, if you go into the translation, means impotent. Well, you know, to be impotent means that you can't reproduce life, right? Now, if you can't do that physically, that can be a hardship. You know, if you're married, you want to have children, but if you're impotent, then that's going to hinder you. But so I began looking at the spiritual side of that. What if I was spiritually impotent? What would that mean? See, I have to tell you, in what I'm doing, I go into hundreds of churches in 36 countries I've been. And for the most part, don't get too upset with me, I found this to be true. Because if we were to be really honest with each other, we're not everything that we want to be, right? We're not everything that we think we should be. There's weaknesses in us, and for some reason what the Lord does is put us all together so we can grow. But to be impotent, spiritually impotent, would mean that for some reason I'm not reproducing the life of Christ in others. Maybe I'm too self-focused and I'm thinking about just me. But if I'm spiritually impotent, I'm not reaching others for Jesus Christ. I'm not maybe sharing my faith, or maybe I'm not being a witness. I'm hiding my faith behind what I do, whether it's some employment or something like that. But I've got it closed in. It's for me, and I haven't shared it with other people. So that would make me in the category of being spiritually impotent. But then you have people there who were blind. In passage of the scripture, it says people who were nearsighted unto blindness. Now, I'm nearsighted, which means I can see close up. If I put it at the right focal length, I can read this all day. Now, you look like a blur to me, right? Because I'm nearsighted. And I think, okay, what does that mean spiritually? What if I was spiritually nearsighted? I think you understand this probably as much as anybody would. But in New York and other places where it's just life is so busy, we get so caught up with the immediate, we can't see down the road. Like I remember I was under stress one time and this brother came up. He said, well, what's your five-year plan? And I wanted to go, I don't have a five-year plan. I don't even have a one-day plan. I'm just trying to survive right now. I don't know how to meet the rent, or I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with the sickness I've got. Don't ask me about my five-year plan. Because in city life and in what you're doing, stress can be so great. All you can figure out to do is a week at a time or something like this. And so we tend to be very nearsighted spiritually. But what I really believe is the Lord wants us to see what he's up to. Maybe, you know, getting into the Word and other things like that in prayer, we get an opportunity to maybe see a little further down the road than where we are right now. And I believe God has plans for us, plans for you, a destiny for you. But if we don't have a feel for where he's going to take us, then we'll never get there. We have to have a feel for that. We need to know what God is up to. And I think God wants to reveal to you what he's up to in your life. I think he wants you to know. I don't think he wants you to be nearsighted. He doesn't want you to be impotent. He doesn't want you to be nearsighted. And then there's the lame. I think, you know, to be physically lame would be a difficult thing. But what does that mean to be spiritually lame? In my mind, it means that I'm unable to keep up with what God's doing. I'm somehow stuck where I am. I know people who God is on the move, he's doing new things, and they have trouble keeping up with God. I was thinking in the Old Testament, remember when they were moving the tabernacle through the wilderness? And boy, I don't know how long it took them, but it took them, I think, days to get it just all set up. Everything had to be in the right place, in the right order. And I think they had thousands of Levites to help erect it and all of that. And they would, whenever the cloud moved by day or the fire by night, they picked up and they followed the cloud. And I'm thinking, what if I was old Abe, you know, and I'm helping to put the poles in place and all of that. And we just got set in place and just finally got there and the cloud rests over it and God's presence is there. And then I wake up the next morning, the cloud's moving on. I might be one of those guys who would say, forget about it. If this was good enough for God yesterday, it's good enough for him today. You guys move on. I'm staying where I'm at, you know. But God is always coaxing us to keep moving on with him. No matter what your age, whether you're young or whether you're old, he wants us to keep. He doesn't want us to be spiritually lame. He doesn't want us to hold back. He wants us to keep moving forward. Now, I just turned 73, and I want to keep moving forward. I don't want to act my age. You know, where God's on the move, I want to keep going because he's where the action is. He is where life is. And if old Abe just stayed in the desert, he would have died in the desert, you know, if he hadn't gone on. So I want to keep up. So there can be people, we can have an attitude. You know, it's the same attitude that people say, well, we never did it that way before, you know. I don't think God is in that, you know. Well, this is a new kind of worship or something. Oh, I don't think God is in that kind of worship. Well, you know, we can get lame, and God wants us to keep up. But then there were the paralyzed. Now, that word means withered. Withered. How can I be spiritually withered? You know, maybe I was meant to be a plum, but now I'm a prune. Maybe I was a grape, but now I'm a raisin. it means to be dried up. That's another thing it means, dried up. How do I get dried up? I stop being filled with the Holy Spirit. I stop allowing God to fill me and saturate me, fill me with new things. I've got to tell you this story. When I was younger, and I went to church with my parents, it just happened for a while, and then I turned away from the Lord. But when I was about 10 years old, when you're 9 or 10, you kind of say whatever's on your mind, you know? That's the beauty of having kids. They just say what's on their mind, and they embarrass parents all the time. And we were in a church where on Wednesday evenings, we had a testimony time, right? Well, there wasn't much life in this church, I have to admit. And there was this lady who every Wednesday night, I knew she was going to stand up and she was going to testify. She always did, every Wednesday night. And she was scary looking. I mean, her hair was pulled back like this, and it's like someone had hit her face with white powder. I mean, she was just scary looking to a 10-year-old boy, you know? And she would stand up, and she... Okay, got to get this with a straight face. She said, I've got the joy of the Lord deep down in my heart. And one evening I said, way down, baby, way, way down. Where did you do that? You know, I really believe one day she had the joy of the Lord. You know, maybe it had happened 20 years ago or something, but somehow life had soured her. She had allowed herself to get dry. She stopped being moistened by the Holy Spirit and by the Word, and she just got all withered up. But so you can have people that are just kind of dry. And you don't have to be like the example of that woman, but you can be very dry. And so you have the impotent, you have the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. So I'm seeing this picture here that maybe a good part of the church is suffering with these things. Now, I would dare say that some of you are dealing with, if you're dealing with all of them, you're in trouble. But there may be some who are dealing with certain aspects of this. Maybe you want to have more life in your walk with Christ. You're wanting to be more vibrant. You want to be more effective for the kingdom of God. Or maybe you are just not seeing right now what God's up to. You want to know what He's doing in your life, and what's next. Where do you want me to be or go? Or maybe you feel for some reason you're struggling in your walk. You know, not sure you can kind of keep up with God, or you're blind. You just can't see, or you're paralyzed, you feel dry. You know, any one of us can feel like that at any given time. What's interesting in this story is that Jesus walks into this situation. And I know his disciples were questioning, why are you going in there? I mean, look, you can be in front of the big synagogues and preaching and all of this. You know, people are hearing about your healing power and all that. And Jesus sees this porch of Bethesda. I've been there in Jerusalem. And he walks in. Of course, all the disciples follow him. And when he walks in there, and it talks about, in the scripture, it talks about an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring, the water was made well of whatever disease he had. All I can tell you is I don't think that was God, because the Lord isn't into the survival of the fittest, you know. Okay, God's healing hand is going to be here in the altar for the next 10 seconds. Go! You know, and if you don't get, too bad. You had your chance. I don't think God's that way. I don't know what it was. Maybe, I don't know, I won't even speculate, but I just don't think it was really real. But there was a certain man there, and who had had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. It means he couldn't move. He was lame. And when Jesus came in, he said he saw that this man had been sick for a long time. I thought, okay, Lord, I got a question. How did you know he'd been that way for a long time? Well, he's Jesus. He knows all things, right? No, I mean, he depended on the Holy Spirit like we do. And how did he know? I've ministered on down on Skid Row in Los Angeles. And they have men and women on the street, and some of them have a bed, and you can tell they've been there a lot. It's not a new bed. In fact, you can see the form of their body where they've been lying. So you know they've been there a long time. When Jesus saw this man and knew that he'd been there a long time, he came up to him, and he asked him this question. Okay, here's where I had another. I didn't know what he meant by this, but Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And I'm thinking, Lord, wait a minute. Hold, cut. Of course he wants to be made well. I mean, he's been sick 38 years. Who wouldn't want to be well after 38 years? Why are you asking him if he wants to be made well? Unless he'd become accustomed to his limitations. You know, I think that happens with us. I know it happens with me. I see a certain limitation in my life, and I learn to live with it. I stop striving to break away from that. I just say, well, it's just who I am. And I live with my limitations. But I think, honestly, Jesus' question could have been framed in another way, and I think this is the way he intended. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to change? Now, I find in the whole area of healing and deliverance, that's the major question. Because you can't do anything with anyone that doesn't want to change. If they're happy with their limitations, you can make all the offers in the world, and they won't step forward for it. But the real question that has to come to our heart is, are you willing to change? Now, I love this man's answer. He didn't answer him. Are you willing to change? It's just a yes or no answer, right? He said, well, I've got no one to put me into the water. When the angel goes in there and stirs up things, someone tries to get me, I don't get there in time. And so I think he was lying. I think he gave up trying to get in that water, if there was any such thing at work. I think he stopped trying to get in there 36 years ago. And I think it was an excuse. I call those motorboaters. Yeah, Lord, but, you know. I've been there, done that. And aren't you glad, I thought about this, aren't you glad that the Lord so often ignores our excuses? Lord will ask you, ready to do this, and then, yeah, but Lord, I can't. I don't have the resources. I don't have the time. I don't have this and that. And he just like totally ignores you. How impolite. You know, you see other places in scriptures like Gideon. Remember, he was in the wine press when the Midianites were ripping off the land and he was hiding from them. You know, he's in a wine press. And the Lord, at first he didn't recognize him, but the Lord comes up to, this is a hilarious thing. Lord stands at the edge of this wine press, looks down at Gideon, and he says to him, now Gideon's in there because he's afraid. You know, he's fearful of being seen by the Midianites. So the Lord stands in front of him and says, "Hail, O mighty man of valor." And I can imagine Gideon looking up, "Who are you? Are you mocking me? Are you mocking me?" And the Lord says, "You're going to go out and you're going to conquer and you're going to get an army together and all this." And Gideon is saying, "But, I'm the least of my family. I'm on the totem pole. I'm at the bottom. I don't have this. I don't have that." And then, what does he say? He says to him, "Go in the strength of yours." Didn't you hear what he just said? He's giving you a reason he can't do it. And the Lord is basically saying, yes, and I'm ignoring his reason because I don't look at your weaknesses. I look and see what your strengths are and what you were made to be and do. It doesn't matter what you tell me of your weaknesses. I see your destiny. I see your future. Go in the strength of yours. You know, so Gideon, when he realized it was the Lord, he goes and he says, if I think you are who I think you are, will you wait right here? And he goes and he prepares a sacrifice. He comes to him and he offers a sacrifice, and the rock stands back and looks. The Lord touches it with his staff and goes up, and the Lord disappears. And Gideon is saying, I'm a dead man. No one can see God and live. That was well known in those days. You can't see God and live. I just saw God. And then the Lord spoke out of heaven. He said, don't worry, Gideon. I'm not going to kill you. You're okay. Go on. Go in the strength. And what happened was Gideon believed God. And he offered a sacrifice to Jehovah Shalom. So he offered the sacrifice. God is my peace. And when he had that revelation of who God was, he began to believe what God said of him that he was. And so something happened. So anyway, going back to our story of this man, Jesus ignores all of his excuses. And the next thing you hear him saying to this man is, take up your bed and walk. Well, didn't you hear me? I mean, no one's putting me in the water. Take up your bed and walk. I think by this time, I think the man was figuring out who this was. It probably word had gotten around about a Jesus of Nazareth who was healing the sick and opening the eyes of the blind and all this. And he had seen all of this crowd come in with him and the disciples standing there. And I think by this time he's figured out, this is Jesus. And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Okay, time out. I got another question. Lord, why did you tell him to do something he couldn't do? If you told him to clap his hands and shout hallelujah, he could do that. But the man's lame, and you're telling him to get up. He can't get up. I think that something clicked inside of him. Well, here's the thing. The Lord always has us take the first step. When they were taking the Ark of the Covenant and they were supposed to cross over to the Jordan, Joshua told the priests, carry the ark on your shoulders, right? You've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. It looked a little something like that. And they put it on their shoulders and they start walking. And again, I'm thinking about, what if I was one of the guys walking with this ark? Because this is what Joshua said. When your feet touch the water and get wet, then the water will pull back. So I'm in the front, and I got Abe again. He's in the back, right? And I'm saying, now, what did Joshua say? Did he say that we've all got to get our feet? What did he say? He said, when your feet, all of us, I suppose, when your feet get wet, the waters will part. I'm saying, look, this is flood season. By the time your feet get into the water, I'm going to be up to my neck in water. So I don't know. I think what we ought to do, I've got a better plan. Let's stand right by the edge of the water and just say, Lord, go ahead, part the waters. We'll stand there. He will part the waters, and then we'll walk through. Wouldn't that make more sense? That way I don't get soaking wet. But that's not the way the Lord said. He said, you got to get your feet wet. Got to get my feet wet. I got to take the first step into the water. And I can show you other incidences where this happened, but this man who was lame had to make a decision. I'm convinced that he thought, this is Jesus. He can heal. He just told me to get up, so I must be able to get up. And I think the moment he sent a message, in a nanosecond, sent a message from his brain to his legs, okay, get up, let's try. And as soon as he tried, strength came into his legs. Some of us are like that man. And God has given some of you promises. He said, I want to do this through you, and this is what I have planned for you. And you're saying, fine, Lord, you make the provision. You make the resources come to pass, and my job situation and my other. You get that all in line. Get all my ducks in a row, and I'm your man or I'm your woman. The Lord said, I'm not going to put all your ducks in a row. I want you to take the first step. You take that first step, I'll put strength into your legs. Amen? A little bit of weak clapping there, but look, and then he said to this man, and pick up your bed and walk. I said, okay, sorry, Lord, I got one more question here. Why not leave that bed for someone else who could use it? Yeah, let's say he doesn't need that bed anymore. There's plenty of people here who could use that bed. But here's what I think the Lord was saying to him. I'm not going to give you any excuse to go back to where you were. We're going to go forward. We're not going to go backward. So I want you to pick up that bed and take it with you. You can throw it away later, but you're not going to leave it there so you can come back to it later on if this doesn't work out. See what I mean? So I believe also right now that there is a presence of the Lord for you. And I've made light of a few things, but I've tried to do it so you could swallow what I'm saying. The Lord wants you to bring you into new places. There have been promises that have been made to some of you, and you're holding back. The Lord wants to refresh you. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon you in a fresh way. There are some of you who feel lame. I'm going to ask you just to stand with me right now. And there are some of you, you're not quite sure who you are, what you were created to be and do. What is it that He has for you? What is your destiny? And I believe in these moments, there's going to be a downloading of God's intentions into your life. You may say, you know, Lord, I don't want to be impotent. I don't want to be a man or a woman that doesn't reproduce life. Help me to influence others wherever I'm at. Help me to see what you're up to in my life. Help me to see further down the road that I'm seeing. Whatever it is you need. If you want to just come up to the front, I'm going to pray for you. Short prayer. I won't keep you. But I believe God is ready to act on your behalf. So I invite you to come. Just press down in a little bit and leave room. He is such a compassionate God. Jesus is amazing. He knows what you need. Before he ever got to that man, he knew all about him. Before you stepped out, God knows you. He knows the hurt of your heart. He knows what you're aching to do. And He knows the unanswered questions you have. But the Lord is going to answer those questions. He cares about you, and you have a future in Him that is bright and positive. and amazingly impactful for those around you. I believe there is going to be some dreams and some visions in this group. And when you are given those, I'm going to ask you, please, don't laugh at them. Because sometimes He will show you something that you say, I'm inadequate. It's no way I can do that. Right. Because you're going to have to depend on the Lord, and He's going to have to give you His strength and His wisdom. If you can figure out how to tackle it in your own strength, I doubt that it was from God. But I want to tell you something. He is the giver of huge promises, and He is the one who sends the Holy Spirit to us to take us through and help us through. So now, when we're worshiping the Lord, we often worship Him with our hands like that. But I want to invite you to receive right now. Put your hands in a receiving mode. Even if you're not in this group, I sense you're all doing it. So I want to pray that you will receive what you need. Heavenly Father, what amazing Father you are. Jesus, who can compare to you? No one. You are amazing. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, is in us. That same power. And I ask, Lord, that you would begin to download the information that is needed for the next step. Lord, I pray that they will have the faith and the courage to take the step that you're setting in front of them, Lord. I know it could be scary, Lord, but the step you have is going to be a good one. And I pray, Father, that you would lead them and guide them by your Spirit. You would be their provision for everything they need. Thank you, Lord, as we say in answer to your question, are you willing to change? The answer, Lord, is yes. We're willing to change. We're willing to change. Just go with us. That's all we're asking. Go with us. Lead us. And we'll follow you everywhere. So, Lord, thank you for the good things you're doing right now. And the rich promises that are being downloaded and the dreams they're going to have and the visions they're going to see, the promises that will be given to them. Thank you, Lord. And I speak your blessings over them, Lord. I speak life into all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.